Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to our LifeWest Leadership Line. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West. And I'm excited about this show today. I've got a great guest, a great medical doctor, but also we've become pretty good friends over the last, last 3-4 years. I've got Dr. Sahil Chopra coming with us from Los Angeles. Sahil, welcome to the LifeWest Leadership Line again.
Yeah, no, thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
You're in LA right now, right? Last time we had this, you were in Boston, And let me tell the group about you a little bit, our viewers, Dr. Sahil is a medical doctor. He had a pulmonary specialist from Loma Linda, internal medicine from UCLA, and then he went to Harvard and did his sleep fellowship at Harvard. And he got involved in sleep on a very deep level, and still does other things, but he's just this kind of guy that really looks to find causes. I mean, to be honest with the way I view you, Sahil, you're more of a researcher than anybody. You're a critical thinker. You want to know not just what's going on, but why, and how do we look at these. And to be honest with our viewers, he really looks at sleep holistically. And the reason I have him on is because I want to talk about brain health also, because sleep is so big in the brain and the nervous system, right? It's such a huge component, and it's something I think that we forget about, and people don't really even look at. So we're going to jump in with that. And I just got to tell you, it was so cool, because when we spoke when you were in Boston, that was during COVID, and it was during crazy times, and you were in the middle of it, and you weren't afraid to just share your opinions on what was going on, because you saw it and it was there. And, you come from, I know who you are now. You're very honest and you're very, thoughtful. So I'm just excited. But today I want to talk about brain, and sleep, and how that coincides and what goes on with that. So how'd you get into it? I never even asked you this. Like, what was it, Sahil, that kind of drove you from, internal medicine, pulmonary specialty, all that stuff, and then sleep stuff, sleep fellowship at Harvard, which is no easy thing to do. But, what was it that drew you to sleep? Because I know you look at things so holistically. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, first of all, thanks, Ron, for having me. I'm excited to have our conversation today. I can talk about sleep and pulmonary and critical care all day long. My journey into sleep kind of stemmed from personal experiences. And if there's any physicians listening in today who know how a pulmonary critical care fellowship is, it's usually like this really long 80-hour work week type of work schedule between days and nights, shifting all the time. And that was a time when we had a young family. So we had 2 children under the age of 2. I was working very, very long hours, and I became chronically sleep deprived over that course of time, and kind of like burning both ends of the candle, so to speak. And I knew I wasn't feeling well. And around that same time, as a pulmonary fellow, we would see people in our pulmonary sleep clinic who had a known sleep disorder, and it would take them months to get in, months to get a sleep study, and months to get started on treatment. And it just did not seem right. I knew that my problems would get better over a course of time as the kids grew older and I was done with fellowship. But for them, like, that wasn't the case. And became really deeply interested in wearables, sleep, why the healthcare system on the sleep side of things is so broken. So decided to learn more, and luckily matched in Boston at Harvard to do a sleep medicine fellowship to sort of
And you know, it's so interesting because I used to pride myself that I only needed 4 hours of sleep. I mean, I would go to bed at midnight and I'd be up at 4 o'clock and start doing when I was doing some consulting. I'd be on the phone at 4:30, and I used to pride myself. So I yelled that, oh, I only need 4 hours of sleep, thinking that I'm functioning well. And then, you know, over the years, I realized that, man, I really screwed myself up. You know, I mean, you know, and I'm going to be real, I'm going to be transparent here. I'm going to tell the viewers, I called Sahil and I did a sleep study. You know, I needed to get my sleep under control and I just couldn't sleep. And it hit me. And over the period of time, it just kind of like, wearing the same tires on the car all the time, they're going to blow and something. I was more than bald. My tread was even gone, you know? So I need to find out. And I'm going to tell you right now, Sahil did testing, which we'll talk about later, because I know that you're doing much different stuff now. But the testing that he did was objective stuff. And my report of findings, I was the worst that he had seen. You know, in fact, he used my chart with my name off of it with other clients, showing that this is not where you want to be. And I'm proud to say now, with the work that you've done, and I'm not doing, I guess I'm doing a testimony, but not just, you know, it's not, wasn't planned. I'm sleeping now, 7 hours, 6.5, 7 hours, for sure 6, you know, but I'm getting deep sleep and I really notice a difference. I notice a difference of how I'm functioning. I know the difference of my acute awareness, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and I know that my brain is just much better for it, you know, and it's just amazing because people do not understand much about sleep, do they? What are you seeing out in the world right now? Like, I know they just go get test strips. They go to CVS or, you know, what are you seeing with people that are coming to you? I know you guys are just blowing up right now with sleep. So,
yeah, you know, I think the first thing that I always invite patients to look at sleep very differently. Like what you shared with me right now is a very common story of people thinking that sleeping less is macho. But what I always try to, at least even the way that the whole team is trained to talk to patients, is we need to invite patients to understand what's the function of sleep. And many times I do that with this metaphor of, like, imagine a hotel that has like a very amazing housekeeping service that comes for 7 to 9 hours a day. They trim the lawns, they clean the lobby, they clean the rooms, they clean the bathroom. They keep this place spick and span. And then you have a hotel next door that has a lousy housekeeping service that only comes 4 hours a day or 5 hours a day. They don't do a very good job, and they're being interrupted many, many times during that time. Immediately, there will not be a substantial difference. Both hotels will be able to operate. But over a course of time, decades, the hotel that has a lousy housekeeping service will be in a much worse shape as compared to the hotel that has a good housekeeping service. And this metaphor of housekeeping for a hotel is it applies very well to human health, because sleep is the only opportunity of housekeeping that we give ourselves. And if we rob ourselves of that process of housekeeping over a course of decades, it will result in neurological issues, cardiovascular, metabolic, mental health, just a whole host of things. And then it starts making sense. Why do people who don't sleep well, why do they have these like cascade of so many downstream medical conditions?
Right. And the thing is that a lot of people don't even know they don't sleep well. That's the sad piece, you know, like they don't know, or they don't realize that you know, they only sleep for, like you said, they sleep, like I was sleeping, that was my badge of honor, right? I only need 4 hours of sleep, 4.5 hours, I'm fine. I don't need to have 8 hours, you know, and I only wish I could have 8 hours an hour, you know, but like they don't know. And they're not told that until the decades when, you know, the hotels break it down, so to speak, the body. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, the body does like, you know, 90% of its healing when you know, the brain does 90%, you know, when it's sleeping, right? You know, yeah. That's when the body can focus inward, right? And be able to, it's not dealing with all the stuff on the outside. It's just, it's so interesting. I you hit it at the right moment. I guess it's always been the right moment in sleep, but it certainly is a big thing right now. You know, what are you seeing like in certain, I know you deal with things more holistically and things like that, you know, because people are just going and buying over-the-counter products. And they're just doing whatever, you know, and they're not saying that's bad. It's probably okay. You know, before I got with you, my daughter to say, put tape in there. They sell that tape, you know, to put on your mouth and see how you sleep. And then, you know, wear a nasal strip and, you know, all these different things. And, but I didn't have the data to support anything, you know, to really say, am I doing better or not doing better, right? I just wake up not feeling as strong. But, you know, nothing a cup of coffee can't fix for most people, right? That what they think, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, what's the technology right now that's kind of moving into this stuff?
I guess a couple of things. You know, the idea, like, when we think about this idea of, like, holistic sleep health, like, for example, as a chiropractor, you're not, if someone needs an adjustment, you're not just trying to improve bone health. You're trying to improve their autonomic nervous system health. The idea of treating hypertension is very different than the idea of improving cardiovascular health. Similarly, the idea of, like, addressing insomnia or sleep apnea or restless legs is very different than the idea of improving someone's sleep health. And the way that we understand someone's sleep health is by doing a home sleep study. And nowadays, these sensors have been distilled down to something that just goes down on your finger. They're medical grade, FDA cleared, to be able to assess one's sleep health. And once you have a baseline of someone's sleep health, then you can start making specific recommendations based off of the biomarkers of their sleep, especially if you look at it across time. And you can see what works and see what doesn't work for them.
Yeah, and does that mean, like, it's not one size fits all, right? It's not like, oh, if you have apnea, you need to have a CPAP. I mean, I've been hearing stuff about CPAPs that sometimes they cause more damage than they can take care of the apnea, but they cause more damage than other. Like, what have you heard about that?
Yeah, and I mean, we see it all the time because we do, like, longitudinal sleep testing. We can see what happens to someone's breathing across time with a CPAP machine. And we can also see what CPAP does to sleep, because many times we assume if we fix breathing, we fix sleep, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily true. And you don't know that until you track both of these two processes across time. Sleep can impair breathing, and breathing can impair sleep. So there's a bidirectional relationship here, and both things need to be addressed. And depending on the burden of apnea and the kind of sleep apnea, is it during REM sleep? Is it during non-REM sleep? Is it positional? We can make very specific recommendations and see how well those recommendations hold for that individual over a period of time.
Right, and that's based on the data, right, that you're getting back. It's not based on a person saying, oh, I'm sleeping better, or I'm not waking up at, you know,
correct. Yeah, no, we need to invite individuals to look at sleep as a chronic problem, if it is a problem. And all chronic conditions are tracked over time. We don't manage blood pressure this way. We prescribe a medication, recheck blood pressure in a couple of days or a week and see what happens. We don't manage diabetes that way. We don't manage any cholesterol issues that way. And similarly, the only way we know if something is working from a sleep standpoint is if we track it, test it over time.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting, you know, because our society has been based on symptomatic results. We know that, right? You know, someone's not feeling well, they take something, whatever they do, right? They can take something, they can stand on their head. It doesn't matter. If it goes away, then it worked. But we never really know, you know, the only way to tell is longitudinal studies, right? To be able to see the length of time, like, what's really taking place, right? Oh, good, the cholesterol goes down. What does that mean? Maybe something else went up. Maybe something, you know, it's just so myopic, isn't it? Just kind of looking, it's certainly not holistic. And on sleep, I mean, what are you seeing? Like, after talking with you, my feeling is, like, everyone should do a sleep study after a certain age, you know? Why not? Why not see where you're at and get it handled, whether it's 20 years old, whether it's 25 years old, whether it's 15 years old, I don't know where that number is, but everyone should have it, right? It's like, why not have a sleep checkup, right? Like, everyone should have their nervous systems functioning to the best of their ability. Why not have a sleep checkup to be able to see that and then be able to address it at that time. And do you see that if you get people early in, you know, that it's much easier to correct it? The longitudinal studies show changes much faster and easier and longer as compared to someone who, you know, myself, who came to you when I was, what, you know, 65 years old or something like that, or 64, you know, something like that. And I was like, you know, at that point, the poster boy for what you don't want to be.
No, I think you're like, you hit it right on point. And it's just a matter of time before sleep testing becomes like a standard part of a workup at the age of 50. Like, you get a colonoscopy, you bought yourself a colonoscopy on your 50th birthday.
Yeah.
The same is going to likely be true for screening for sleep disorders. And historically, one of the reasons it did not happen is because sleep studies used to happen in a lab. It's not scalable to like to do population analyses through that kind of a brick and mortar model. But now, as you can see, these sensors have been distilled down to just a wearable device. It's very conducive now. And the cost of these things have dropped so much.
Yeah.
It used to be like a $5,000 test is now like a few hundred dollar test. And you can do this in the comfort of your home over a course of many days and really understand what's going on. So the idea of everybody doing a sleep test at some point in time is coming. I'm a strong believer in that. But for people who have any kind of risk factor from a health condition or have any symptom of like not waking up rested, feeling tired during the day, not able to fall asleep easily, or having frequent nighttime awakenings, like if one screens positive for any of those four questions, I'm a big believer that just do a sleep study. It's very quick and easy, and one can understand if something is wrong or not.
Yeah. And you know, it's just, to me, this is just me looking at it through my chiropractic lens. You know, I mean, we're not talking about sleep. We're talking about the brain, and we're talking about accessing, and therefore, and sleep is something we are all designed to do, right? We're designed to eat. You know, what we put in determines what will, you know, what comes out, obviously, of garbage in, garbage out, but we're designed to eat. We're designed to sleep. And it's something that we just ignore. Everyone talks about, we're designed to move. So we talk about movement, right? You know, we talk about exercise, we talk about all this stuff, but nobody is really talking about sleep. It's just crazy. It's like no one, until we get to that symptomatic. And I would love to say, I can't wait till the day, I hope my grandkids have the day where, you know, everyone, oh yeah, you know, and it's not gonna wait till you're 50 to get a colonoscopy. It's gonna, you know, and you know, you do it when you get in college, or you do it wherever, you know, they just kind of nullify this stuff, because I feel like we could get so many people off of drugs, so many people off of chronic illnesses. So, I mean, you probably see it, you know, all this stuff, and being a pulmonary specialist and all that other, you know, the psychological issues that get changed, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, but I think it's really important to think of sleep as a process. Sleep is a window during which different processes happen. That's the way to think about this. There's a distinct difference between resting and sleeping. Sleeping is a window during which brain function, blood flow to the brain is at its peak. In the brain, there's a system called the lymphatic system, where waste in the brain is filtered out. Beta amyloid is a precursor for Alzheimer's disease, and that gets filtered out during deep stages of sleep. During sleep, in the cardiovascular system, a whole set of different processes are happening. Heart rate is dipping, blood pressure is dipping. During sleep, from the endocrine standpoint, growth hormone peaks. So when we think about the idea of sleep, what we are really thinking about is it is a window during which different physiologic systems are running processes that are distinct and specific to that window, and they do not happen during the process of the biologic day. They only happen during the biologic night. And we can get into any of those individual processes, but that's really, when we think about sleep holistically, we're trying to restore the pathology of these processes back to the physiology of what is supposed to be happening during that window.
I love that because, you know, it's kind of like, and I'm sure you hear this because we hear it in chiropractic all the time. Someone comes in with ABC, it doesn't matter, right? You know, that's might have what drove them in the office. But after they're under care for a period of time, now they're saying, wow, I'm sleeping better. Wow, I can eat these foods. Wow, I usually get, you know, the flu twice a year and I didn't get it this year, or my allergies are gone. And it's just normal neurological function. It takes them back to how they're designed to be. And I'm sure you see the same exact thing in that, you know, people just start, their function improves because, you know, the brain is starting to, it's starting to work at a higher level, right? And, you know, I love it. Sahil, it just goes so hand in hand with what we're doing. Because here I'm thinking that, you know, I want everyone to have a clear and functioning nervous system. But, you know, at nighttime, if their brain can't, you know, if their lymphatic system can't work, if or not supported, you know, to be, we're not, you know, we're putting all of our energy into these one things, and yet we're not taking care of ourselves on a holistic level. And I think that's just, it's so important, and it's so cool. I mean,
no, thank you.
Yeah, you hit the wave, bro. You know, it's kind of like, I really see that. You know, and let's face it, you know, I mean, people, there's probably a record number of CPAPs going out now than ever before, you know. Yeah, I'm sure there are, you know, and these companies are doing great. Not that they're bad, you know, but you know, the question is, do you need it? And
no, for sure.
If you do need it, awesome, use it, you know, and if you don't need it, then it's just another modality that's not necessarily, or like you said, it could be doing something different, right? It could be increasing your air passage, but you know, your you know, air coming in, but not necessarily getting you into that deep sleep or hindering you to do that, you know. I think it's awesome, man. So what do you see the future? You know, I mean, you got a great company and you guys are scaling, and obviously you're seeing the trends that are happening. They probably need to have 1,000, 5,000, 20, 100,000 companies like yourself, you know, in Power Sleep. But what, you know, what's going to, you know, in your eyes, as we kind of close down, where do you see the future, you know, of sleep health?
Yeah, you know, technology has been so dynamic over the last few years, and over the next few decades, it's only going to evolve in miraculous ways that we cannot even imagine. And using technology, and with the use of these wearable consumer grade devices, we are going to have immense insights into human physiology that we have not had ever before. And much of these insights are going to shatter our current understanding of how physiology works, because we think of physiology as what we've been taught in medical school or chiropractic school. But now that we have these new biomarkers that are longitudinal over time, it's going to break those foundations, and we're going to be able to see things and understand things that are built on a different foundation. And using that, that's going to unlock a whole new set of insights of how do we deliver care to these individuals? How do we intervene early? And if we bring all of that to sleep, to the world of sleep, to me, sleep is a window into one's health. It's an 8-hour window that we get the opportunity to see what's happening to all of their physiology during that point in time. And through that window, we will be able to identify what's happening to their brain health, what's happening to their cardiovascular health, what's happening to their metabolic health, GI health, muscular health, all of these things. And if we can identify things sooner than before they manifest days out or months out or years out, that's an opportunity to intervene. And all of this, like, feeds into this idea of longevity, health span versus lifespan. Like, if we can extend both of these out by looking at this like 8-hour window of sleep over time, I think that's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
And with the use of technology and AI and machine learning and all these amazing sensors, I think it's definitely a possibility.
I think it's beautiful, man. And I'm really excited to watch it because, you know, I've learned about sleep, you know, and unfortunately I was too late. I'm not too late. It was perfect time for me, I guess. Better time than now, you know, but I wish I would have I wish I would have been getting the sleep that I'm getting now beforehand, and I'm still looking to improve, right? It's something that I'm always looking to improve. So cool, bro. It's just great to see you, number one. I know you have a new baby recently in the last year, so congratulations on that. And thank you for being, you know, for being in the cutting edge on this, you know, empower sleep, you know, really empowering people to learn more about sleep, understand, you know, the effects that can happen, you know, when we don't have sleep, right? And also to be able to get the data to be able to show this is where you were, this is where you are, and these are the physiological functions that are improving. Because to me, education is power. I know that's a huge thing that you're into. So thanks for being on that cutting edge, and let's hope that we get that place. And I think that as chiropractors, it's just going to improve the results that we see also, that people are actually having their bodies rest based on what we do. So it's all, you know, it's all part of it. You know, it's like, you know, eat well and you know, good mental attitude, properly functioning nervous system, exercise, and of course, sleep, right? It's a huge piece. So thanks, my man. It's great seeing you. You know, for our viewers, if reach out. Now, we're going to have, you know, Sahil's information on the bottom of the screen or the website, whatever. Just go to it, you know, and Sahil, you know, chiropractors start calling you, then we'll be very excited. And that wasn't the purpose of this. It was really the purpose of just kind of showing how this goes hand in hand with what we do, but it certainly is something that we can't ignore, and we can't ignore with our patients, right? It's huge. And the last thing I wanted to share is you don't just go get the ring and just wear the ring and it tells you. I mean, you got to know the data behind it, right? It's got to go into it, you know, because the direct-to-consumer stuff is all about, you know, oh, you got a green light, you got a red light, or you got a yellow light, you know, kind of thing. But there's so much more beyond that, right? And sure, that's what that says. So cool, bro. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and to our viewers, thank you. Thank you for coming in with us. And please take this stuff to heart. You know, sleep is, I think it's probably one of the most ignored processes that we have. You know, we're so focused on all the other things like eating well, which is important, and all the biohacking things, you know, with red lights and saunas and all this other stuff. And even people sleep 8 hours think that, oh, I get my 8 hours of sleep, but they really don't know what is happening during those 8 hours, right? And it doesn't mean that it's a healthy sleep, just like anything else. So I think it's a factor that we've got to start looking at, and let's start incorporating that in what we do in our education processes too. So cool, but thank you. Thank you for coming. You know, we drop these every other week, the Life Leadership Line, Life West Leadership Lines. The opposite weeks, we do the Life by Life West, as with my wife and I, and we're just excited to bring you people like Dr. Sahil Chopra, who are just knowledgeable in what they do and truly on cutting edge of health and how it can improve the human condition to allow us to function to the best of our ability, so we can constantly be working to create a brighter future for humanity. And that's our mission at Life West. So our vision. So thank you guys. We'll come back at you another week. Sahil, again, thank you for your knowledge. Great to see you. And for everybody else, from Dr. Sahil and myself, we'll bid you adieu, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.